The following is a paid program. The claims and opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and not necessarily the views or opinions of WUPSFM, its staff, or its advertisers.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from a green field somewhere in the middle of the mitten from the Black Diamond Broadcast Mothership. And I am stoked to be on the mic this morning. It is hot. The studio is fired up. We have some guests coming on the show, and we're back. How's everybody out there today? What you doing this afternoon, morning, evening, whatever time it is for you during the day? Maybe you're just getting off work, waking up, on the way to church, having breakfast, doing some directional drilling, or just chilling out, listening to 98.5 UPS as you should always be doing, listening to this show. Hey, huge announcement, by the way. A week from today, the first Sunday in April, we are moving the show back an hour. We're going to be broadcasting each and every week from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every week, still on 98.5 UPS. And as I've said in the past, we're going to be on Rock 105 and 95.5 out of Traverse City, shredding another 100,000 watts strong. So we're going to be on both 98.5, 105, and 95.5 starting a week from today. And if you miss any portion of the show, you can always catch us on podcast, iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. Any questions? CentralMichiganLawyer@gmail.com, CentralMichiganLawyer@gmail.com. And folks, I have a huge show for you this morning. As promised, as announced last week, Dr. Bob Townsend is going to be joining the show here in just a few moments. And he's back. That's right, folks. By popular demand, Little John is back in studio on Todd's Rock Block right here on 98.5, soon to be on 105 and 95.5 out of Traverse City. But today we're going to be a law show. We opened up with the Zombies. I hope you like that. I love the Zombies. Big fan of some 60s music, and was just thinking about the Zombies last week. But over the weekend, I loaned my truck to a few of my young cousins from Metro Detroit. I get in the truck this morning, turn on the radio, hoping to hear 98.5, as it's always tuned into 98.5. And what do I hear? I hear Helen Reddy, "I Am Woman, Hear Me Strong." And I literally froze. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I've never heard Helen Reddy on 98.5 UPS. I looked at the dial. "I am woman, hear me roar." My cousins must have screwed around with my dial. And today, folks, that song is stuck in my head. "I Am Woman, Hear Me Strong." I am not a woman. Do not hear me strong. I am all guy, 100%, pure Michigan, born in the D, baby. So in order to get that song out of my head, I'm going to make sure it's mandatory Metallica all day. As soon as I leave the studio, it's mandatory Metallica. We're going to start off with maybe something from the Black Album, Load, Reload, and then go back to 1989. 1989 is some of my favorite music from Metallica, but we'll be playing the Zombies throughout the entire show, so I hope you enjoy that. Hey, let's bring Dr. Bob on. Dr. Bob Townsend, good friend of the show, one of my sponsors, but first and foremost, my friend. He's helped thousands of patients throughout Michigan, and he's so informative, so educational, and he's always there for you, the people. Dr. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Todd, I'm glad to be back.
So good to have you back. And as I said, we announced last week that we were going to try to get you on the show. So welcome back to the show. Let's get right to it, Dr. Bob. Why don't you tell the listeners who don't know who you are a little bit about yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see. I'm from Goebbels, Michigan, down by Kalamazoo. Grew up down there and in Florida. Went to Michigan State and medical school then down in Florida. Came back, practiced in South Carolina for a few years. And in 2010, I started up Denali Healthcare. In the meantime, I was enlisted in an officer in the Army. And I run Denali Healthcare, which is a pain management, addiction, and medical marijuana.
And you've been an advocate and for a long time in regards to cannabis and the medicinal relief it brings to patients.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your involvement?
Well, I didn't have any involvement with cannabis when I was growing up until I was well into my medical practice. I became aware of medical marijuana back in about 2009. Started having some patients tell me about it as I was cutting them down on their medical or on their narcotic pain medicines. And looked into it because I was curious. And the more I looked into it, the more I liked what I saw. I got good results with my patients, and I started writing certifications about 6 months after the law started. And about 2010, I started doing it pretty much full time.
Absolutely. And I have a question for you, and it's an important one.
Sure.
How can, I refer to it as cannabis, marijuana cannabis. How can marijuana solve problems for primary care doctors? I think that's an important question. Well, and I'll say it again. How can cannabis solve problems for primary care doctors?
Well, one of the biggest problems that facing primary care doctors right now is the amount of narcotics that they're writing. There's a lot of short-acting narcotics out there. A lot of doctors are really uncomfortable writing narcotics. And rather than cut patients off and not treat their pain or pawn it off onto pain management clinics for something that's, you know, a relatively simple problem, I've found that with cannabis, you can generally cut the amount of narcotic by 2/3 to 3/4 and get better pain control. So if all primary care doctors in the state had a way to cut the amount of narcotics that they were writing in half, I think that they would jump on it. And, that's what's absolutely amazing me about this is that more doctors aren't looking at this as a way to cut down on the amount of narcotics that they write.
Can you talk a little bit about how many, you know, cannabinoids? People always hear cannabinoids. And for those that are uninformed out there, we have CBDs. We have the active THC. What's the difference between a CBD and THC?
Well, I think probably the best way to look at it is the THC is a little bit more psychoactive, and the CBD is more anti-inflammatory, anti-pain, promotes appetite and such. The CBDs are really kind of what you're looking at as far as medical cannabis goes, whereas the THCs are something that you're looking at to alter your sensorium or alter your outlook on life, I guess.
Yeah, and we're going to bring little John on the show. He's got a question for you in regards to, I think, Parkinson's. And little John, welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Good to be here, brother Todd, my brother from another mother. How are we doing?
It's always good to have you on the show, back in studio here with Dr. Bob. And, you know, we were talking before the show, and you were talking with Dr. Bob in regards to Parkinson's. And what was that question?
Well, that question was, I have an uncle that has had Parkinson's for a few years. And his son started treating him with a cigarette, you know. And guess what? He is done shaking after he smokes. We're trying to get him onto the cookies, but they just found the recipe online somewhere. But anyways, here's one. Like, I sponsor a lot of people in the program of recovery for the last 20-some years. And the heroin's became a good epidemic, a terrible one.
Oh, just a horrible one, yeah.
I've lost 5 kids that I was working with the heroin overdose in the last 6 months. And right now I have like 3 of them that's been in treatment and are out now. And I have them smoking, and one's eating cookies once a day. And, you know, the study's saying that it's great to bring them off opiates.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, I've done a lot of work with narcotic withdrawal and addiction treatment. Now, if you look at the symptoms of narcotic withdrawal, you're nauseated, you're crawling out of your skin, you're achy, you can't eat, you can't sleep. Now, what's marijuana do again? It basically hits every one of those symptoms and controls pain. remember, people, for the most part, get on narcotics for a reason. They're in pain. They're having a problem with it. And it just, most of my addiction patients are actually medical treatments by doctors that got out of hand. And, you know, so they had a reason to be on narcotics in the first place. So why not give them something that addresses their pain a little bit? Second, as they withdraw off of this, they get nauseated, they can't eat, they can't sleep. Why not give them something that will actually directly address those things and make them more comfortable and more successful? And we've, you know, that's really how I got interested in the first place. People weaned off of narcotics a lot easier when they were using cannabis.
And if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. You're listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Special guest in studio, Dr. Bob Townsend, Denali Healthcare. And he has multiple locations all over the state of Michigan, throughout the Mitten State. You can reach Dr. Bob Townsend. I'm going to give out his phone number, 989-339-4464. That's 989-339-4464. And if you miss and you say, hey, what was that phone number? Catch us on podcast or just stay tuned to the show each week because Dr. Bob is one of our sponsors, and we appreciate Dr. Bob. Also, Little John's in studio. A moment ago, Little John had a question for you, Dr. Bob, and you answered it, and he mentioned that some of the young folks in regards to cookies and smoking, but I just want to state for the record that he's referring to individuals that follow the law and that are cardholders. Not once will we ever recommend or advocate anything on this show that is outside the law or how to get around the law. So as the listeners out there hear us talk about different issues, I vet the questions before we go on air. So I just want to state that for the record that everything is always above board, by the law. We don't want anyone out there breaking the law. You should definitely seek someone such as my good friend, Dr. Bob Townsend, before you participate in anything in regards to your medical health. We have to take a break, but when we come back from break, Dr. Bob, you'll stick around, correct?
Sure.
And what are we going to talk about when we come back?
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. First is, what are the criteria for getting a medical marijuana card? That's a good one to do. And the other thing is, how do you talk to your doctor about it?
Those are two great questions. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to
me. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with the zombies. Trying to get out of my head. Helen Reddy, I am woman, hear me strong. If you just tuned in, I woke up this morning, got in the truck. My cousins from Metro Detroit borrowed my truck, screwed around with the dials, started the truck, thought 98.5 would be blaring out of my speakers. Instead, it was Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, Hear Me Strong. And I'm definitely mandatory Metallica together with 98.5 UPS all day to get that horrible song out of my brain cells. Dr. Bob, do you feel me on that Helen Reddy song?
I kind of like Helen Reddy, man. You know, I mean, it just gets your toes a tapping.
Do you remember that song?
Oh, yes.
I am woman, hear me strong. You know, now what's going to happen is all the listeners are going to have that song stuck in their head all day. So hopefully they just jam some zombies throughout the day and not listen to Helen Reddy. Nothing against Helen Reddy. I'm sure, you know, nice lady, good family. I think she's from Canada. But that song brings back ghost memories of migraines when I was a kid driving around with my mother and all her sisters. Oh, my goodness, I can't take it. You're a doctor. I'm venting. Look, I'm venting my issues here, Dr. Bob. But
we all have issues, man. We all have issues.
We are all chemically off a little bit. But we're talking with my good friend, Dr. Bob Townsend from Denali Healthcare. And if you want an appointment to meet with Dr. Bob at one of his clinics throughout the state of Michigan, 989-339-4464, 989-339-4464. Also joined in studio by Little John, and he'll be back on the show shortly. Dr. Bob, great tease at the end of last segment. You were going to answer the question regarding what?
Well, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One was, what are the qualifications for getting a medical marijuana card? And two is, how do you talk to your doctor about it? Well, let's just take them in turn. Number one, the qualifications for marijuana, there are three basic qualifications. One is a named condition. A named condition would be like cancer, glaucoma, Crohn's disease, or PTSD. Those are just a couple of the examples. You have those, basically you qualify. Second of all, a condition that causes a specific symptom, like chronic pain or nausea or seizures. And, you know, the third thing is a condition that you're required to take medicine to function that causes symptoms like nausea. So, for example, anxiety is not a qualifying condition in any way. However, if you have to take Prozac or one of the other medications for anxiety that causes just all, you know, life-altering nausea, which you've talked to your doctor about, that would qualify you because you have the nausea secondary to the medicine.
I, full disclosure, when I was in college, fire up chips back in the 80s, I used to have panic attacks, and I had no anxiety. I had no idea where they came from. I mean, it was traumatizing.
That's the definition of a panic attack.
Traumatizing.
Yeah, you don't know where it comes from.
It's bizarre. And, you know, I used to have to carry around, this is serious, a paper bag in my pocket to blow into in case I felt it coming on.
Yeah, that's not uncommon. I was talking to one of my patients the other day that, you know, it just is incapacitated from anxiety. And she's, you know, on multiple doses of Xanax. And, you know, she was asking me questions about the Xanax. You know, I don't prescribe that, of course, but she just had questions. And, you know, she's dependent on this Xanax as a result of her anxiety. She can't function without it.
That's not good.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, don't live your life around a medicine. Yeah, don't live your life around a medicine. And that's always been my motto. But, you know, it was just a terrible thing that she's going through with this.
But how do you talk to your doctor, your family doctor, or your intern? Or how do you approach your doctor who may not be someone that actually signs that application and that's sent out to Lara? I mean, how do you approach a doctor about this?
Well, the easiest way to do it is solve a problem for him. All right. No primary care doctor likes writing narcotic pain medicine. They don't like writing controlled substances. If you get a medical marijuana card from any source, what you want to do, first of all, is start showing that doctor that you're really getting results. Cut back on your pain medicine. Cut back on your anxiety medicines. And then what you do is you sit down and you wait for him and say, hey, Betty Jo, you used to be on 4 Norco a day. Now you're only down to, you're on 2, and you seem to be doing a lot better. What's different? And then you say, well, I got a medical marijuana card and I was able to cut back on a lot of this stuff.
Well, you know, Dr. Bob, my issue is going to be the fact of driving. How long after would you suggest? Or, you know, what would be your opinion? Or if I eat a cookie or a sucker, you know?
Well, that's kind of a tough question to answer, because if I say, you know, X number of hours, you know, they'll sit down and say, well, I waited X number of hours and 3 minutes and I still got a ticket. You're a bad guy. So what I recommend is that I if it was me, I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable driving, you know, 12, 14 hours after I used it the last time. I don't use it, so but people are telling me that it stays around for a while, and everything that I'm seeing says that it can still be detected 10 or 12 hours afterwards, so I would wait beyond that.
I did a show on this a couple weeks ago where I discussed how long does THC stay in your blood system, and based on my, well, you're the doctor, but based on my research, it could be anywhere from up to 50, active THC, anywhere from 15 days to 20 to 30 days based on your metabolism, your weight, your lifestyle.
Well, Todd, no, that's not
how
active.
How often do you use?
That's not active THC. You're talking about the carboxy THC, which is the ash off the end of your cigarette. You know, this is the inert ash off of the cigarette. Active THC is the psychoactive stuff.
That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, no, that only stays in your system maybe 8 to 12 hours.
Because the blood tests that come back from the Michigan State Police Lab, they
that's carboxy,
they
the
read
metabolite.
Nanograms and COOH.
Yeah, nanograms is the active THC, and that's relatively recent. And the COOH is the carboxy THC.
Correct,
and
that
stays around for 30 to 60 days.
Correct, and it's interesting because the active THC is always much lower on these results than the COOH.
Correct. And
just because it's the how do you refer to that as?
It's the active THC. It's the psychoactive
Correct.
It's metabolically active. Now, the other stuff's the cigarette ash.
Right. No, I understand that. Here's something else that's interesting. If you're a cardholder in the state of Michigan, and, you know, right now the state of Michigan, if you're operating a motor vehicle and you're operating at such a capacity that you're swerving all over the road and you present a danger not only to yourself and passengers and others, and an officer pulls you over and finds and determines at some point through an investigation that you are a cardholder, and obviously there is some level of THC possibly in your system, you can be arrested, obviously, for operating a motor vehicle with the presence of a controlled substance in your system or with the presence of drugs in your system, because Michigan is a zero-tolerance state. But if you're a cardholder, there are some defenses, with the exception if you're operating a vehicle erratically. If you present a danger to yourself and others, then it doesn't matter if you're a cardholder and how much THC is in your system, the amount that shows up.
Or any, if you're just doing it erratically.
Yeah, any type of illegal substance, if you don't have a script for and you're operating a motor vehicle and to such an extent that it's a danger, you will be arrested and you can be convicted. Now, here's the other issue, though. The state of Michigan, from my understanding, is going to, and maybe you know about this, Dr. Bob, is going to determine at what threshold are you now operating a motor vehicle, which THC in your system or the COH, so that you can, you know, so that they convict you, similar to an impaired driving. Because right now, as a cardholder, you do have, you know, some defenses to that, with the exception of erratic driving.
Well, it's my understanding that there are several states that have a level that says you are by definition impaired if you're at this level or higher. For example, you know, if you have a certain amount of alcohol in your blood, you could be driving wonderfully, but you have that amount of alcohol in the blood, and they'll use that to say, by definition, you're impaired.
0.08 in the state of Michigan.
Exactly.
But with a 0.07, you can still be charged with impaired.
You can be if you are driving erratically, but if you're 0.8 or higher, you're by definition impaired. And this, that's what they're looking at with levels of THC. And there are a number of arbitrary and completely unscientific numbers being thrown around, 5 nanograms, 8 nanograms, 2 nanograms, whatever. But there aren't really a lot of good studies saying that you are definitely impaired over this level and not impaired under it. The other difference is that depending on how much you have used THC in your lifetime, you may tolerate different levels without impairment.
Another issue is you might just be a bad driver, and the THC has nothing to do. It's just you're a bad driver.
You just
driver.
Suck behind the wheel, man.
You just suck at driving.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're inexperienced or whatever. You know, my daughter just had an accident because she's been driving 4 months. She's okay. Yeah, she's okay, but she made a stupid mistake that, you know, the three of us might not get away with, but it's something that's a little bit more understandable with somebody that was a young driver on a sudden storm. And she's paying the price for that. And, you know, fortunately, she and her friends walked away with it.
So just for, I'm glad she's okay. We have to go to break, but just for clarification for the listeners, just to sort of sum this up and bring it full circle, in the state of Michigan, let's say you're 5 over, you're speeding, you get an officer pulls you over, and the officer says, "Oh, I smell marijuana," because they'll often say that whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
In fact, they're allowed to say that whether it's true or not.
Yeah, a cop can lie to you.
Cop can lie to you under the Constitution, absolutely. I'm not saying I agree with it, but they can lie to you. Yeah. Now they say, "I smell marijuana. Are you a card holder?" "Well, yes, I am. Can I see your card?" So you present your card. The officer says, "Okay, I'm going to give you a ticket for 5 over. The driver goes on his or her way.
Yes.
Now, if, in fact, that same driver, different scenario, is 20, 25 miles over, crossing over, you know, the middle of the road, on the side of the road, or fails to yield or move over for an emergency vehicle, now that type of driving rises to the level of where an officer, if you are a card holder, you know, is going to further investigate to see if your levels in your blood cause your driving to be so erratic, and now you're going to be placed under arrest.
Okay.
For operating with the presence of drugs.
Yeah.
A scenario more like that as opposed to a 5 over.
Well, you know, they can still do it with 5 over, too. It depends on how badly they want to get you. And, you know, I'm a big one for, you know, I never would allow a police officer to search my vehicle.
You have the right to remain silent. Use it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what every lawyer, and trust me, I've seen a lot of lawyers, they all tell me, just shut up, Bob. Never say anything. You know, respond to a direct question or shrug.
Now, I'm a big fan, albeit I'm a defense attorney. I support law enforcement wholeheartedly. I mean, literally, I support them. I recommend you keep your hands on the wheel and let that officer know as they approach your vehicle that they're going to go home to their family.
Yeah.
Albeit I'm a defense attorney, so I will vigorously advocate for you. But I agree, you have the right to remain silent and you should use it. And that's not, it's nothing against the officer. The officer, and most do, will respect that you are exercising your constitutional right not to incriminate yourself. And you have a right to remain silent.
Yeah.
Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with my good friend. Who are you?
Dr. Bob Townsend from Denali
where?
Healthcare.
And where is Denali Healthcare?
Oh, it's everywhere, man. I'm an hour from you, wherever you are.
And what's your phone number?
989-339-4464.
And you are not going to listen to Helen Reddy, I'm a Woman Hear Me Strong, after the show.
Absolutely not. I'm more a Barry Manilow guy.
I'm all about mandatory Metallica this afternoon. We'll be right back.
It's the time of the season when love runs high in this time.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in, I am yours truly, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Group Mothership in the middle of the Mitten. Big announcement. Starting next Sunday, we're rolling back the dial an hour. The show will ear from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. And we're joining Rock 105 and 95.5 at the same time. So wherever you are throughout the state, you can listen to this show. I highly recommend you go to the App Store. You can download the WUPS app. It's free, so you can always tune in to 98.5 WUPS. But I'm stoked to be joining Rock 105 and 95.5. Same time as 98.5, 8 to 9 a.m., new hour, two new stations, total of three. Next week, you can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. And also, I am honored, Dr. Bob and Little John, to be joining a show called Cut to the Chase. I'm going to be down in Grand Rapids in a couple days, and I'm going to be on with Dave Johnson, Jim Chase, and Buck Gino on another station, Cut to the Chase. I'm honored that they invited me to come on and provide information to the Grand Rapids and Northern Illinois listening audience. I'm stoked. So if you or someone you know has a show, boy, I just squeaked or list, I'm happy to come on if my schedule permits and I agree with your format. Dr. Bob, I'm just not going to appear on any show.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Hey, hear me strong. I am not a woman. Hear me strong. Helen Reddy, it's still in. What side of my brain is that triggering on? Because
apparently both sides, because you mentioned it about 20 times already.
I got to get that song by Helen Reddy, I am woman. Hear me strong, out of my freaking brain. Oh, my goodness. I need some mandatory Metallica or zombies. We got the zombies coming back from break. Also, Dr. Bob, Little John, another big announcement. My good friends, Chris Malpe and Napper Mike Naparowski, they own Terry Cycle down there in Elma, Michigan. The third annual Spring Charity Ride is taking place May 7th, 2017 at 11 a.m. And so you can go online, check out Terry's Cycle Facebook page, and you'll get some more information. We'll be talking about that in the upcoming weeks, Dr. Bob, about the third annual Spring Charity Ride presented by Terry Cycle. Once again, big shout out to Malcolm Fox. He got an awesome award. Dr. Bob, back to the show. During break, we were talking about someone you want to give a shout out to, so go right ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about me being on the show this afternoon in the office, so I want to give a big shout out by request to Lori from Blanchard. She said, hey, mention me on the show. I listen to it every week, man.
Big shout out to Lori from Blanchard.
Yeah.
Lori's awesome.
Lori's an awesome gal.
My sister's name is Lori.
My wife's name's Lori.
I do not know your wife.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't claim to know me, right? Because we're friends.
No.
I mean, she's a lovely lady.
Oh, yeah, I like her.
If I saw her, I think I'd ask you if I can give her a hug.
Oh, you could, twice.
I gave you a hug when you came in the studio.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that.
Nah, we're Sicilian. We do that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah,
hey,
all right.
How you going, huh?
All right, yeah.
Hey, big shout out to my cousins, Robert and Anthony, by the way.
Robert and Anthony.
Love
all
you
right.
guys.
I know a guy named Robert.
You do?
Yeah, me.
Robert Townsend.
Yeah, there you go.
Denali Healthcare. Little John is back on the show. Little John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Todd. And I'm so glad to hear you're moving back 1 hour. Now I'm not going to have to walk into church 5 minutes late.
Listen, more people listen to this show, by the way, on the way to church than any other radio show. And we have now increased our Amish listeners to, I think, 45 Amish, 5 Mennonite, the rest are my family and friends, Lori from Blanchard, Little John, and Dr. Bob Townsend. So we're increasing our listenership.
I want to give a big shout out to my restaurant friend and Everett, the Lamplighter. They're awesome people there and great food.
I've been there to the Lamplighter. When I was running for the house, stop by the Lamplighter. I may have to do a fundraiser out there someday.
Absolutely. And we are broadcasting from the Black Diamond Group Mothership in the middle of the Mitten. We are a law show. We're joined by Dr. Bob Townsend, a good friend of the show. Dr. Bob, on behalf of our listeners and a number of my friends, I want to thank you for all the care you provide to your patients and my friends. You've been an advocate for years. You provide a lot of relief, and I'm hoping that there are more doctors in the medical profession who see the benefits as you do.
Man, they're coming around. They are coming around. We're getting referrals from them. Even having, you know, we have a lot of doctors that say, hey, don't tell anybody I told you this, but you need to look into this.
Let me ask you a question. There's a myth out there.
Yeah.
That doctors are paid for prescribing more and more prescriptions, that the pharmaceutical companies, you know, have these doctors in their pockets and they send them on trips and, you know, pay them all this money so that they keep prescribing.
Yeah, I remember the good old days.
Is there any truth to this? This is a serious question. Is there any truth to that? It's a myth, isn't it?
I remember the good old days when you could go down to the Bahamas for a week and listen to somebody talk about some drugs. I think that ended about 1979. Now the freaking pharmaceutical reps won't even bring me pens.
But my question is,
no,
is there any truth to that?
Absolutely not.
Okay, there's no truth also that if you tear the tag off your mattress that you're going to be charged with a crime.
Well, yeah, I think that is true because it says so on the...
Well, how the heck would anybody know in your bedroom that you're ripping off the mattress tag? People, once in a while, I get these interesting legal questions. Hey, Todd, is it true if I tear the mattress tag off my mattress, I'm going to go to jail? Well, what police officer? There's no law that says that. And here's another thing.
I know. It's just one of those great things. And, you know, according to Eric Snowden, they can probably see that you did it. But I don't think anybody's Yeah, they're not going to come get you. Well, their Samsung TV is going to get you.
Here's another myth.
Yeah.
And there may be some truth somewhere to this myth, but I have heard over the years, and it doesn't matter what court I am in, I will have a client or someone in the hallway say, oh, this judge lost a loved one, a wife or a child, to a drunk driver, or this judge, him or herself, was convicted of drinking and driving. Now, look, do I know every judge in the state that this is true or not true? I can say with some confidence that it is not true in regards to this judge lost a loved one from a drunk driver. I mean, it doesn't matter, Dr. Bob Littlejohn, which court I've been in. I've heard it in almost every district court in the state of Michigan, and that's just not true. It's not the case.
I think when you're going into court, man, as a, you know, as a defendant or something or other like that, you're afraid, and anything, you know, it's a rumor mill.
Anxiety.
It's anxiety.
Well,
it's the rumor mill.
The judge doesn't like me. I hear that a lot too. And I say, look, the judge doesn't. These judges are professionals. Here's one thing. Look, I respect judges. I am not going to criticize a judge. Point being is, when I hear people say, oh, this judge does not like me, I've never seen that to be the case personally, and I've practiced in 12 years in Metro Detroit. I've practiced all over the state of Michigan. Now, they may not be happy that when I say they don't like you. It's not personal. But look, how many chances can you get? I'm a defense attorney. I like to give my clients as many chances as I can with outstanding representation. But put yourself in a position of a judge. If this is the third or fourth or fifth time you're back and you're still asking for a break, the judge is human. Do you think you're going to get a break? No, that doesn't mean the judge doesn't like you, Dr. Bob. It's just you're not going to get a break on the fifth time back.
Well, you know, we're watching CNN lately, and they've got the Supreme Court they've got a new Supreme Court justice that they're vetting right now. He said something that was really profound. There's you do certain things as a lawyer. You advocate for your client. You make arguments, things like that. But you put that robe on, and things have to change. Now you're subservient to the law. You have to judge a case based on the law. And I think something special happens to people. You know, something happens to a lawyer when they become a judge. They have to sit down and make a disconnect between what their personal feelings are or who they lost or, you know, what their kid got in trouble for or how much they, you know, how much they blew when the cop pulled them over. You have to put that all aside and you have to actually look at each case individually. And that's in an ideal world the way it works. And I'm hoping that that's the way that it works. I have some faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point. Hey, by the way, if you're just tuning in, who are you?
I'm Dr. Bob Townsend.
And who are you, special guest?
I'm Little John.
And Little John's a regular on the show. I used to have a big skateboard company, Dr. Bob, Skate War. Little John organized with us every year we did Skate War. It was great. We put on these huge competitions, gave away a lot of free skate decks. I'm an old skater kid from the 70s. I used to shred the gnar on my deck, and it was some awesome trucks. And
I saw a skateboard once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I got four skateboard decks in my office right now. Yeah, but hey, we're shredding on 98.5 UPS an hour early starting next Sunday. And we're also on Rock 105 and 95.5, also part of the Black Diamond Broadcasting family. I'm stoked to be part of that family together with the classic Bear. You know the Bear?
Yeah.
That's part of the family, Black Diamond Broadcasting. Big Country Hits. It's another Big Country Gold and 92.1 The Twister. My good friend Nikki is always on that show just kicking it. So Norm and Mike do a great job out there with Cherie in the background. So I thank everyone at Black Diamond Group. Dr. Bob, when we come back from break, I want you to answer the question, if a patient says to their doctor, why aren't you interested in why, you know, my pain consumption has decreased? Why are you not interested that I'm not taking as much Xanax as, you know, prescribed? Aren't you interested in knowing the answer to that? I want you to answer that when we come back from break, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back with Dr. Robert Bob Townsend.
It's the time of the season for love.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, you can catch this show on Podbean, SoundCloud, or iTunes. It's free to subscribe. Starting next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., we're moving back an hour on the dial. We'll also be broadcasting on both Rock 105 and 95.5 out of Traverse City. So big shout out to Smitty and everybody over there at Rock 105. We appreciate that. We are broadcasting from the Black Diamond Broadcasting Mothership right here in the middle of the Mitten. Joined in studio by my good friend Little John and my favorite doctor, Dr. Bob Townsend, Denali Healthcare. Dr. Bob, I'm so stoked you're on the show today.
You know, I'm glad to be back, Todd. It's been too long since I've been on.
It has been too long. You have clinics all over the state. If somebody wants to schedule an appointment, how do they go about doing that, and what type of care do you provide?
Oh, they just give us a call at 989-339-4464. We've got clinics in the listening area here. We've got clinics in Mount Pleasant, Cadillac, Gaylord, and Traverse City. We do mostly medical marijuana. We do some pain management and addiction. We've got a cold laser that we use for pain management, for example.
And people do come to you from all over the state.
Oh, God, yes.
People call the show, hey, Todd, how can I get a hold of Dr. Bob? And you provide information. We talked during one of the segments. What are the qualifications, and how does one in the state of Michigan go about becoming a cardholder? Can you just mention and discuss that for a moment?
Well, yeah, like I said, there are three basic things that you have to have. There are named conditions like cancer, Crohn's disease, glaucoma, post-traumatic stress.
Back pain?
No, back pain is not a named condition, all right?
Herniated disc.
Well, yeah, but you see, the named conditions, there's about five or six of them there. And, you know, there are things like glaucoma, cancer, things like that.
I'm not a doctor. I just play it on the radio.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm not a doctor. I'm joking.
And then the other thing is you can have other conditions like degenerative disc disease that cause a symptom such as pain, nausea, seizures. And the third one was, say you have a condition that requires the use of medicine that causes you to be nauseated and you have to take the medicine. So those are the three basic ways to do it.
By the way, big announcement, Jeff Irwin, who got termed out in the House out of Ann Arbor.
Yeah, good guy.
Saw this on his Facebook page on the 22nd of March. It was a draft ballot language regarding the Michigan Coalition to regulate cannabis like alcohol. And it said, basically, we are pleased to share the latest draft of a legalization initiative that will make Michigan the leader in cannabis law reform. So if passed, the voters in November 2018 will be able to see this proposal. And part of it is to legalize industrial hemp. I'm an advocate of this country allowing the hardworking farmers who have been farming and feeding us for generations to grow hemp.
Yeah, it's a great cash crop. It's a very...
You're a doctor. How is that a Schedule I drug?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Isn't that ludicrous? It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
How is hemp and heroin equal?
I have no idea, other than there are benefits to having as many things as illegal as possible to certain circles in this country.
Yeah, it's all about money.
Yes.
And power and control.
I'm trying to say that in a really nice way, and I'm glad that you, the lawyer, got to say that.
Power, money, and control.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's no sense behind making industrial hemp illegal or treating it as a drug. You can't smoke it. You can't inject it. You can't eat it. Well, actually, you can eat it, but it doesn't do anything other than give you good nutrition.
Look at the industries it provides jobs for.
Well, I think the bigger question is look at the industries that would put out of business, such as wood pulp and things like that. You know, chemical industries, biofuels. There's also, you know, there's just so many reasons to want to do it unless you happen to be in the industry that derives your paycheck from it, from having it illegal.
Well, you know, that's great because, you know, there's so many things that they're trying, and I agree with you full-heartedly that, you know, the pharmacies are getting upset. The drug makers are getting upset. Everybody's getting upset because they're not going to be making all the money. It's all about money.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned pharmacies real quick. You know, I follow the things that go on in Lansing, you know, being a closet politician. And we've got a new House bill coming out, 4405, I believe it is. And what it does is currently a pharmacist can refuse to write a prescription or to fill a prescription if they are suspicious about it or don't think it's appropriate or anything. And they do that on a regular basis. However, they can be called into court to justify that decision.
Wait, can you say that again? House Bill 4405.
Okay.
Who introduced that bill?
A Republican out of Novi, a lady down there. I mean, it just went out today.
And if passed, it will allow pharmacists to do what?
All right. Currently, a pharmacist can refuse to fill a prescription for any reason in their professional judgment that they think they're suspicious of it. Okay? And that's quite reasonable. They're professionals.
I have no problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it at all. However, they can be called into court to justify that decision. For example, many times with pain patients, pharmacies just refuse to fill pain medicines. It's our right. We're just not going to do it. Well, technically, you can call that pharmacist into court and make them justify that.
There is a fine line where a pharmacist is not the doctor. The pharmacist, I mean, has an incredible amount of knowledge in regards to medication, and in a lot
of
cases more than doctors.
Yes, as far as interactions, they may be aware of things.
But there may be some that feel that they're playing doctor also, and then that's when they're going to be called in to testify to justify why they rejected that.
Well, there's two reasons that you would call a pharmacist into court. Number one is if they just universally discriminated against pain patients and refused to fill or carry pain or addiction medicines. Okay? The other one is if they sit down and they have a particular doctor they want to run out of town, the quickest way to run a doctor out of town is for all the pharmacists to get together and refuse to fill that doctor's prescriptions.
I never heard that one before.
Well, I did. All right. I saw it happen in Muskegon. Okay. We brought them to court and spanked them pretty badly over it. All right. Now, House Bill 4405, introduced by this Republican out of Novi, forbids you from suing a pharmacist for refusing to fill a prescription, which means, as far as pain management goes, is you can have pharmacists in a town all getting together and deciding they're not going to carry Suboxone, or they're not going to fill any prescriptions from Dr. Jones, or they're not going to fill a prescription for, you know, for a particular medicine because their numbers are getting too high or they're under pressure from the police not to do it. Now, as it is right now, you can sue that pharmacist for refusing to treat you, okay, or making them justify why they refuse to do it. House Bill 4405 is going to give them immunity, and that's a dangerous thing to do because it's going to be very bad for pain management. It's going to be very bad for addiction medicine. If a pharmacist refuses to fill prescriptions for Norco because they don't like Norco, or they don't like people that are taking Norco, or they don't want to be the pain management pharmacy, or they're under pressure from the local police for filling prescriptions, they can just automatically refuse it and, you know, the heck with you.
I have a lot of respect for men and women who are pharmacists and pharmaceutical techs. They work so hard on their feet all day, and our lives are literally in their hands, because how many of you out there refill a prescription, go home, take it, and don't look inside the pill bottle to see if you recognize that pill? Or is it a generic and you didn't look, you know? I mean, you got to be careful out there. So these men and women, and I have never had any issues with any of the pharmacists I've dealt with, but we're human. They are human. Yeah. I always tell everyone, you're a doctor, double check that prescription before you put it in.
Well, you always double check
before you ingest it.
Yeah, you always
is
double
that good
check.
Advice?
Yeah, you should always double check your prescriptions to make sure that they're right. Now, here's the thing about pharmacies. I rely on a pharmacist who's a lot smarter with drug interactions and metabolism rates and things like that. Generally, if a pharmacist has a problem with a prescription, the thing that is generally best is call the doctor and discuss it, one professional to another. We'll both learn a little bit. Maybe you're bringing something to my attention I wasn't aware of. Maybe I'm bringing something to your attention that I'm not aware of, or the fact that I addressed what you're concerned is and I feel the risk is justified by the benefit. And then you can decide what to do. But to sit down and just say, oh, this is Norco, here, take it back. We don't fill them here.
How important is it that as a doctor, your relationship with a particular pharmacist?
It's essential. It's essential. And, you know, the thing is, my entire career, over 25 years, I've had great relations with pharmacists.
Well,
but we do run into some that, you know, are just simply anti-pain management. They're anti-addiction. And now they want to be able to do this without being called into account for it. And it's just not something I agree with.
I like the pharmacy I go to, because the medicines I do take, the pharmacist will tell me, John, you can't take this. It's going to counteract with something else.
Yeah.
They pay more attention to it than my doctor does.
And that's a good time to make a call to the doctor to discuss it. All right. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that at all. I do have a problem with people being able to countermand your orders or not treat an entire class of patients in their community. You know, I think that if they're doing that in a discriminatory manner, we should be able to make them justify that.
This was a really interesting conversation. I would love to continue down the road. Will you come back on?
Sure.
Little John?
Oh, I'll be here.
Absolutely. Dr. Bob Townsend, Denali Healthcare.
You betcha.
Facilities all over the state of Michigan. And
within an hour for wherever you are, unless you're in Detroit.
Give out the phone number, how people get a hold of you, and schedule an appointment.
It's 989-339-4464, and we're an hour from you anywhere, unless you're in Detroit.
One more time.
989-339-4464.
Dr. Bob, love having you on the show.
Always glad to be here, Todd.
You've done so much for so many, and you will continue to do so because I know you personally. Little John, always happy to have you in studio.
Always glad to be here, and it's great to have Dr. Townsend with us here. I've enjoyed this man since I've met him, and I'll tell you, he helped a lot of people.
Absolutely. And hey, don't forget, next week we are rolling back the dial 1 hour. The show will be airing from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. each and every week thereafter on 98.5 WUPS also joining Rock 105 and 95.5 next Sunday as well, which are also part of the amazing Black Diamond Broadcasting Company, which I'm a member of, broadcasting from the mothership today in the middle of the mitten. It's going to be the zombies taking you out today. Hope you have a great afternoon. Go out and do something that makes you happy. I'm not just a litigator. I'll see you next week, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. I'm an advocator. Take us out, zombies.
It's the time of the season.
The Todd L. Livett Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative medicine needs, and innovative insulation systems for those cold and hot days. Make sure your insulation pays. Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.